We are exploring the work of the Equal Rights Division of Wisconsin's Workforce Development Agency here on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. First, let's take a moment to check in on the final hours of our winter member drive at WPR. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we really don't have much longer to ask for your support. Listener support is the largest source of funding for the WPR programs you love, and that is why your gift now in these final hours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have about 25 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for six more people to join in. We can do it. We'll get there with your help. And if you've already given, thank you.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Every Monday morning on the morning show at 7 o'clock, we have the State Capitol Report for you. And we just heard from Rick Adamski, the new president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And in 30 minutes, we got an update on the meatpacking industry, the dairy processing in Wisconsin, environmental regulations, water, and more. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation today, now, in these final hours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the State Capitol Report that you join us for possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
It's all about you. As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on, say, food, takeout, entertainment, for instance, things you appreciate that make life a little bit easier and better, just like listening to WPR. So the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
Makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
Ooh, and I like sustainer voices. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And it's why your support during this winter member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose on this final day, that is the right amount.
And then you get bragging rights. That's right. After you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling all your friends and family.
And whether you use social media or you call them up on the old telephone, mention it when you see them, just letting your family and friends know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their minds. So make your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
You bet. Send it in a text. There's just a little more than 20 minutes left this hour, and we're still looking for six more people to join us. You make WPR possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How about that exciting drawing? Five lucky people will receive $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. No contribution is necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for details. And better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much, and you're automatically entered.
With this last day of the drive, if you're not a sustainer, today would be a perfect day to become one now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide the ongoing support for programs you love and get automatically entered in all the drawings we have during member drives.
Kay in Pewaukee says, I'm a longtime WPR listener. And get this, even our dog. dog is an informed listener.
Of course.
Of course. Of course it's the dog, right? Your gift is powerful, and so is your dog's knowledge. WPR.org, and thank you for your support. Now to the work of the Equal Rights Division, one of the six divisions within the Department of Workforce Development. Its work involves administering laws banning discrimination in employment, in housing, and the state's family and medical leave law. It enforces laws pertaining to minimum wage, to overtime pay, prevailing wage rates, among other duties. What questions do you have about filing an equal rights complaint, or what would warrant further investigation or mediation? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Jesus Villa is administrator of the Equal Rights Division. Jesus, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, can you start by giving us some circumstances, occasions when someone or perhaps some organization would reach out to the Equal Rights Division for help? What would they encounter?
Sure. Well, so we enforce over 40 different laws, and they include the laws you described, laws pertaining to fair employment, but also labor standards, and also things like fair housing and employee leave. We get calls both from workers and job seekers who are concerned about their rights and whether they have been violated. But we also get calls from employers, from small business owners, from HR professionals who are looking to better understand the law and their responsibilities. It starts with a phone call or an email, typically, and you get connected to one of our equal rights officers that starts explaining what the situation might be. And then you can decide if you're if you believe that your rights are violated, you can decide that maybe you want to start a complaint process, which starts an investigation.
What kind of volume do you encounter for these calls, for these complaints, for these inquiries?
Well, it varies monthly. But to give you a sense, in 2021, we processed over 4,300 complaints. So those were the calls that actually ended up resulting in complaints, and that's both labor standards and civil rights complaints. One of the things that a lot of people don't know about Wisconsin is that our Equal Rights Division, and we're what they call a Fair Employment Practices Agency, but we're one of the most productive Fair Employment Practice Agencies in the country. Meaning that we process more complaints and we handle more things, and not because Wisconsin has more issues, but because our agency is set up to be that robust and we don't just turn things over to the EEOC. We provide a meaningful alternative to the federal process.
You also have a new online system that's coming online. What impact will that have for, fielding online complaints?
So, yes, and in fact, the online system is online. As of last October, we can receive our labor standards complaints, our civil rights complaints entirely online. You don't have to print up a form, send it through the mail or anything. And that has been going since October. To give you an idea, our labor standards complaints, which started, we rolled that out in April, and we're currently getting about 75% of our complaints, our labor standards complaints, all getting filed online. And the reason we did that very simply is we want to make sure that for people who do have a concern, that they can access the system, that they can access their rights. And nowadays, it can be harder for many people to find a stamp, find a printer, find an envelope than it is to pull up your smartphone, find our website, and fill out a form online.
I want to dig into mediation and what is the role of mediation as a tool in your toolbox for these complaints as they go through the investigation process and yield that there has been some type of issue here.
Sure. And thank you for bringing that up, because we're very proud of our mediation program. Normally for a complaint, and I say normally meaning this is what happens if there's nothing else that occurs, the complaint can go forward to a hearing with an administrative law judge. As I mentioned, our process in Wisconsin is pretty robust, and that hearing process usually involves two parties conducting depositions and discovery, filing exhibits, and going through a full hearing. It's pretty involved. It can take a while. Mediation is a great alternative for many people. What mediation does is, first of all, it's completely voluntary. But if parties agree that they want to try to compromise toward a solution, then one of our judges can facilitate essentially a conversation between the parties that helps them find an acceptable middle ground. And usually it's without any party necessarily admitting fault, but recognizing that, you know, we can find a way to move forward and a way to solve this. That means getting through the process faster. Sometimes it means you can get more creative with how you resolve things because you're not just waiting for the judge to tell you, here's what you might get for damages, or tell you, you might get nothing. But I've seen mediations where parties are able to work things out creatively, such as, for instance, an employer agreeing to revamp training or a particular process as part of it. And like I say, we're very proud of it. It's something that we offer as a free alternative. Mm-hmm. So you're not, you know, you're able to go and not hire a mediator out of pocket. Typically, it's faster than the hearing process, which translates into dollars and cents. But like I say, it can be very satisfying. We resolve about 2/3 of the cases that go to mediation. And ultimately, it's up to the parties, you know, whether they reach an agreement. But we're really proud of that track rate, that we're able to facilitate those conversations and get it to happen.
Jesus Villa with us, Administrator of the State Department of Workforce Development's Equal Rights Division, hearing more about what the division does. Let's go to Steve now in Sun Prairie with a question. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I've looked at the past at the EEOC at the federal level and how many complaints are there relative to prosecution, and it's infinitely small. And I know the guest just talked about getting 4,000 calls, and I believe he said 2020. I could be wrong. How much actually ends up in a prosecution so that it's not mediation where a company would just say, I want this to go away even though I did nothing wrong? How much actually ends up in prosecution of the 4,000 calls?
Steve, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Steve. So in 2020, we did receive over 4,000 complaints, and 2021 was the 4,300 complaints that we got. Now, we do operate a little differently than the EEOC. If you file something with the federal EEOC, it will be investigated, and then one of two things typically happens. Either there's a determination there that says either we found something or we didn't find anything of concern, but here's your letter that allows you to file in federal court. So you're still on your own to file. And then sometimes the EEOC will engage in conciliation, or they assign it to an attorney to bring a lawsuit on your behalf. But that is a very small percentage of the cases that they do that. We operate differently at Equal Rights. So our process, once you go through the investigation, you still get that initial determination, which you can think of it like triage. Either we find that there's cause to believe a violation occurred, or that there isn't cause to believe a violation occurred. That's not the same as saying a violation occurred, but if there's cause, then the case moves forward to a hearing before a judge automatically. And if it goes all the way through hearing and there isn't any settlement, there isn't any resolution prior to that point, the judge analyzes the law, applies it to the facts as the parties present them, and makes a determination both whether there actually is a violation, and if so, what the right damages should be. So the percentage of cases that go all the way through that process, I can tell you from the ones that are get to the hearing, so starting the ones that are certified to hearing, about half of those cases get through that process. The other half, like I mentioned, do settle, and most of them through mediation.
You protect people in the rental or purchase of housing. Our state's open housing law and finding solutions where housing discrimination comes up. in the current state of housing where communities are dealing with a lack of affordable housing, where you see housing prices just so elevated, so through the roof, do you see more discrimination in the environment we're in?
So it certainly is a danger, and it's something that we're very vigilant to. And our piece of the bigger puzzle around housing is focused in on harassment and discrimination, you know, and those civil rights violations. We always see a steady flow of that. It is, and we've been looking, I guess, to see if we suddenly see a spike. Fortunately, we've not seen a substantial spike, but part of that is because we've really tried to build more awareness and strengthen our partnerships with, for instance, the Department of Justice to make sure that when those issues come up, people know their rights, they know their options, and maybe they can get resolved before it has to go into the full investigation.
I want to just dig into one type of case that has come up recently, and it's workers with disabilities. The ADA, of course, requires employers to make reasonable accommodations for workers, and there's been this wave of litigation involving employees with disabilities. What is your greatest concern there for protections for workers with disabilities in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So Wisconsin similarly has a duty to accommodate, and what it requires is that there's an interactive process where the employee or job seeker explains what their restrictions are, and the employer is under an obligation to work with that employee to find a reasonable accommodation that allows the employee to perform their job. And it's not always the accommodation that the employee requests, but it has to be something that can help that employee or job seeker move forward and do what they need to do. I think that the cases that we see that become problematic tend to be cases where the employer doesn't follow the steps. Mm. They make assumptions that if someone has a particular condition or restriction that, oh, we simply can't deal with that. And they don't go through that interactive process of really exploring. And I understand that it can be time consuming, but it doesn't have to be. And it's something that, again, if people reach out to our office, we can help them walk through that process and understand what steps are taken. Sometimes there aren't accommodations possible. But we find that most of the time when you're interactive and when you're trying things, there are a lot of solutions out there, and there are a lot of resources in the community that can help you think of things that you may not be aware of.
Hey, Sue, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm really proud of our work, and I hope more people check out our website and look up the resources that we're offering folks nowadays.
Jesus Villa, Administrator of the State Department of Workforce Development's Equal Rights Division. We have a link to it at WPR.org/mornings. This is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's turn to the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive in the final day. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. We're here to say your contribution keeps the morning show and WPR strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount makes a big difference. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, with just a few minutes left this hour, we have exceeded our goal.
Nice.
Outstanding. So
excellent.
You don't need to donate anymore, be a member, that's fine. No,
but
let's keep it going. Your gift right now is so important, even though we've met our goal. It's because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just heard from Jesus Villa, the administrator from the Equal Rights Division in the Department of Workforce Development, about what his job looks like. And where else would you find a conversation like this but on the morning show?
WPR is listener powered. It means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you tune in for possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
We have beautiful new t-shirts this year, printed right here in Wisconsin, mixing retro graphics with state pride. This light blue shirt features the sun, pine trees, and your go-to public radio station. So show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR t-shirt today. Just give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your gift. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Your support during this winter member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
I kid. We've met our goal this hour, but that's no reason not for you to continue to participate, because these goals are set up to make sure we have the funding to go forward. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you for being a WPR listener and contributor. And thank you to everyone who's already a member. It's listener support, your support, that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
That's right, Kate, because WPR is your radio home. So support it now. Make the news, the discussions, and music possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's the thing. If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. Super easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love. Lee, take it away.
Your gift is powerful and it makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.